be curious and experiment and play. And again, don't assume how people are going to respond, but then also be open-minded. If they don't respond, you think they should find out why, ask lots of questions, but absolutely play with all of this and don't be afraid to experiment.
Welcome to the Next M podcast.
Welcome to a new episode of the Next M podcast, where today we take an extraordinary journey into the world of typography. Our guest today is Sarah Hindman, founder of Typetasting. Sarah is a powerful demonstration of the impact of communication through a medium we encounter every day and everywhere, typography. Since 2013, she has been exploring how our emotional and multisensory response to the appearance of words can influence not only our perception, but also our decisions, emotions, and even our taste and smell. Sarah's work in the field of typosensory perception opens our eyes to the invisible codes hidden in our everyday communication. Join us on a fascinating voyage of discovery as we discover how type can carry more than just meaning. It can navigate us through the unknown. Welcome, Sarah. Hi.
Hello, thank you for having me here. I'm
nice
really
that you're
excited
here.
About this.
Nice that you're here. Thank you. Sarah, can you briefly explain what typosensory perception is and how you came across this fascinating field?
So typosensory perception or typosensory awareness is how we consume words instead of typography, which is, so typography is all about what graphic designers create. And I'm really interested in what happens to all of us when we consume words and how their appearance makes us feel things through all of our senses, through all of our emotions, and how they might link to different memories.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating, yes. And did you know that you wanted to do this as you were a kid, or was it clear?
I had no idea that I would do anything like this, although I've always been drawn to words. So I have no sense of direction. Mm-hmm. So I get lost really, really easily. And so I use signs over shops, signs on roads as a way of navigating. Mm-hmm. So all of my life, I've looked at different letter shapes and thought about them and been much more aware of them than I guess most other people.
Yeah.
So they have always been part of my life in terms of navigating, in terms of curiosity.
Do you remember the first word you were able to write?
I really don't remember, but I'm sure that like most people, it was my own name. I'm sure most people say that.
Not mama or dad or... It was Sarah. Yeah, that's a statement.
I'm sure they taught me how to write my own name first.
Nice. How can different fonts influence our perception and decisions? Is there an example that particularly highlights this effect?
So they influence us in terms of their different shapes and how emotionally we respond to them. Uh-huh. So really jagged shaped letters will feel a little bit aversive. They might make us feel a little bit edgy. Really curvy, round letter shapes we find really familiar and enticing and friendly. Mm-hmm. And examples of this, well, one that springs to mind for me is the London 2012 Olympics logo and the font with that, which was really jaggedy. It was it had really sharp edges, and it didn't surprise me at all that everybody responded to it like, we don't like this.
Aggressive.
At first it felt and because it was East London, which is a really edgy part of London. But then when the Olympics started, the sun came out and we had all these games makers cheering everybody on, and suddenly everybody was happy and they started liking the font. So it transformed it from being something edgy and aggressive to something that we all felt really quite proud of and fond
nice.
Of.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. So also the atmosphere, right, makes also the difference where the letters will be found.
So atmosphere... context, and also things, the associations that you've built up in your life.
Yeah.
So different people will have made different links to different letter styles or different logos. So especially ones from your childhood, you might feel familiar or fond about, or they might remind you of something really horrible that happened.
In your talk, you mentioned that the appearance of words interacts with all our senses. That sounds very exciting. How can typography influence our taste or sense of smell? How can I imagine that?
So when you look at different word shapes, your brain very easily crosses the information across your different senses. Yeah. So if you look at a particular word, it might make you think of maybe the floral smell of lavender, or you know the really curvy shapes that remind you of candy or chocolate when you were a child. So you've learnt these associations and these kind of visual metaphors. And your brain finds it really easy to substitute one for another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have more examples? It's really fascinating.
So
for example, what do you think when you, or what do you smell when you hear the word apple?
Oh, I love that idea. It depends what kind of apple and what. So if it's a traditional, old-fashioned English apple, there will be a very particular shape of letters that will be partly English history and then also maybe have little sharp bits on them that reflect the kind of the sharpness and the crunch of the apple. So there will be layers. There will be part of it will evoke the flavor. So whether it's the depth of flavor, which would be contrast in your letter forms, or little spiky bits that make you think of something that's crunchy or a little bit spicy.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And then the curves that might be quite melt in your mouth or quite sweet. So a lot of these are from associations that you've learned, but a lot of them are also just you look at these shapes and you just assume that you know what they would taste like very instinctively.
And what would the fall look like? For an apple.
The font for an apple, it depends what, is it a, if it's a really crunchy apple, it would be kind of quite sharp with some contrast.
Uh-huh.
Or if it's a really sweet apple that's been cooked and stewed, mm-hmm. then it would be something a little bit softer.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a traditional apple, you would start seeing fonts that you associate with history linked to it.
Yeah.
So a combination of fonts that mean something and then fonts that reflect sensory, tactile elements.
Now I'm officially hungry. I want an apple.
We need apples and chocolate.
We need apples, yes. So how can your knowledge be applied in practice, for example, in advertising or product design to enhance customer experience?
So one of the things that we know is that the more senses you add to any experience, the more real an experience feels and the longer you remember it for. If you think about a holiday memory and I ask you to describe it, you will always describe it in terms of lots of different senses. So if you want anything, any product to firstly feel, evoke more mm-hmm. emotions, and then secondly to be remembered, then the more sensory triggers that you can add, the better.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been having a lot of fun playing with telling stories by adding, so if you've got something to drink, telling stories by adding sound that start to reveal the backstory to maybe the layers of flavor in a glass of wine mm-hmm. or the terroir or the bubbliness or where something comes from. So adding different senses to start breaking down the tasting experience.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of tasting experiences, you have done experiments with jelly beans at conferences to demonstrate how typography can influence taste, including at Next M 2024. Mm-hmm. What's the idea and process behind it, and how did the audience react?
So the audience today were absolutely brilliant. We gave them pairs of jelly beans.
Yeah.
So I gave them pairs of jelly beans and they were identical, but the audience got to choose which order they ate them in. The first set of stimuli were they had to look at some really jagged letters on the screen. Mm-hmm. And then I played some sounds that were kind of really discordant.
Yeah.
And everybody ate the first jelly bean and thought about what they could taste and how it made them feel. And then the second one they ate to very curvy, round-looking letters that were red and they looked like ripe berries or
some more
candy.
Of the sweet one.
So, Mm-hmm. And then I had some sound that had been calibrated because we know it emphasizes sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea is it tunes your perception in to look for either sourness or sweetness. So we're not really changing anything. We're just changing what you focus on. So a large proportion of people found the jagged made the jelly bean taste more sour. and the curvy made it taste sweeter. But a few people experienced it the other way round, which is really interesting. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, some people don't experience any difference at all, which is also expected because mm-hmm. I'm asking you to pay conscious attention to something that's usually happening in your subconscious.
Yeah, yeah.
But when we asked for a show of hands, there was a lot of people put their hands up that, yes, they'd experienced a difference. And then we also did it with chocolate at lunchtime. So everybody got to come and eat lots of lovely dark chocolate.
What a pity that I missed it.
There's some more left. We can go and
wonderful.
Do it after this.
That's very good. Nice. It's really good to experiment, right? Mm-hmm. So just to taste it and then you hear a sound or you hear or you see another color. The mix, the combination of different senses, right, makes the music.
Absolutely. And of course, it's different for every single person because we all have different sensory dominances. We all experience the world in a different way. And also, it depends on what kind of day you're having mm-hmm. or whether there's just too much distraction going on or you're in a bad mood or so many things will make this vary. So there's no set pattern to how it works. So experimenting is absolutely key to working all of this out.
But that makes it also really complex, mm-hmm. right? So how can marketeers really decide what's the right way to reach the customers?
The complexity is the beauty of being human. Mm-hmm. I think adding extra senses is actually a really good way of broadening the reach because you're not just relying on people looking at something. The more senses you add, the more likely you are mm-hmm. for people to be responding and reacting because you're more likely to hit their different sensory preferences.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard you also collaborate with Professor Charles Spence, who, like you, was a speaker at NextM a few years ago. Among other topics, he discussed how the taste of food changes when served on round plates compared to square ones. How do your work in typosensory perception and gastrophysical research complement each other?
Oh, he's such a brilliant, he's taught me so much, which I'm very, very grateful for. And the paper that we co-published was the jelly bean paper. So I've been very inspired by, if you look at different shaped plates, so round, angular, it's very similar to, I'm going to show you different shaped fonts, mm-hmm. round, curvy, angular. So a lot of his research, we can then replicate with the appearance of words. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very complementary. I just bring this extra layer of typographic knowledge so that we can play with an experiment with typefaces that designers actually do want to use, mm-hmm. which is not always what happens when scientists do the research.
Given all of your years of experience and your perspective on a variety of industries, what has been the most exciting discovery in your research so far?
Absolutely. The unexpected answers that every time I go along expecting, oh, this is what people are going to say, or this is how they're going to respond, they do something different. And it's always the outlier answers, the answers that are a little bit different, that when you start asking questions, you find that actually this is where the gold is. This is where the really interesting responses are. And it reminds you that everybody is different. So this idea of perceptual diversity, we all experience the world very slightly differently. And it just always reminds me, don't make assumptions.
Yes, exactly. Don't make assumptions. Yes. What advice would you give, one more advice, to designers or marketers who want to integrate the principles of typosensory perception into their work?
Oh, be curious and experiment and play. And again, don't assume how people are going to respond, but mm-hmm. then also be open-minded. If they don't respond, you think that they should, find out why. Ask lots of questions, but absolutely play with all of this and don't be afraid to experiment.
Yes. We also had one other episode. It was the courage to for experiments. So it's really like,
fantastic.
It really is a good match, actually, what you say. So what is the role of typography in the world, in the digital world? So is it techno or typo? Where will the future music play?
ooh, is it future music? I don't know. But the future of typography, I think, is really interesting. I think there are different futures that we are heading for. One of the things I think will be really exciting is if we all start wearing face computers that can see where our eyes are looking and see how we're responding to the words that we're reading.
Yes.
So because we now have variable type, which can move and change, imagine if you're reading a book and you get to the scary bit and suddenly you open the door and the type goes boo, or it changes, or
the sharp ones.
Or absolutely. Or if it knows you're falling asleep, maybe it could quietly and gently read you to sleep. So there's all of this potential where type can actually start interacting with us and responding, and also in terms of accessibility, it can understand when and respond to if I'm reading slowly, if it needs to adjust how I'm going to read. So I think there's a lot of potential for exciting things to happen.
Especially when you use technological innovations, right?
So, absolutely.
Especially this immersive experience where typography and technological innovations merge.
Yes. So, and so if somebody, if you're maybe listening to an audiobook, but also you have subtitles effectively, but they can respond, so they can both be in sync with each other, but they can start making it a much, much fuller experience.
I think love that's books. Exciting. I love audiobooks. Mm-hmm. So the more senses, the better. So really
absolutely.
Good. I will have to think about that. Wonderful. How do you see the future of advertising? Are there new research directions or technologies that you find exciting?
For me, I think as things are getting more and more high-tech and more neuroscience is being involved, I'm getting more excited about just keeping the low-tech stuff, the multi-sensory, the human, remembering not to get too caught up in the technology, and just remembering that we are physical beings, and that we have all of these senses that we need to incorporate still.
So now it's the final question already. What do you think is the key to navigating the unknown and exploring new innovative paths?
Absolutely, curiosity.
Yes.
And being open to exploring all of these different paths, but not making assumptions about them, not being scared of them either, just embracing the different things that can happen, but also remembering that we're human, that we're social, that we still need interactions with each other.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Sarah. That was also a very good call to action for the marketers and the whole advertising and agency world. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
Yeah, so that was a fascinating journey into the world of typography. Your passion is infectious, Sarah, and your expertise has been a powerful reminder of how the art and science of type design not only influences our communication, but also has the power to change our entire perception. Typography is everywhere. Let's harness its power because it works without complicated technology. Thank you to our audience for your curiosity and openness to dive with us into the fascinating depths of communication. Stay curious, stay excited, and let's explore the unknown together. Until next time, bye-bye, Shireen.